Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. Nobody but the good Lord has brought us so far for this first Monday in the month of 2016. Even though we've had some things that we want to thank God for, we saw a lot of our friends cross over in the year of 2016. And one thing I just want to say with Franco Lee and all of his family, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, and thank you for the things that you have done while you're in the earth realm. I pray to the Lord Father that he will let us all come to an understanding to get to know Jesus Christ. Tonight's the night that we just say thank you. But you know, tonight also, and I want to just give God the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving, because I got this warrior, the apostle, that's coming on tonight. Apostle Newsom, go ahead and tell us what God has put on your heart.
Hello, Apostle. How are you doing?
I'm blessed in you. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. God is good.
All the time.
All the time he's good, Apostle. All the time, I tell you. I'm so excited. I was thinking that it was Tuesday, Apostle.
That's all right. But you know what? Because God has a lot of information. I went out there to that school, and I went to HM, Houston Media Source.
Yes, sir.
And I got all the information I wanted, so I signed up to become a part of what's happening out there. So praise
that's
God.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very kindly, sir. Yes,
amen.
Indeed. Amen.
Amen. No, God is good.
All the time. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What, you want me to go off into this word?
Well, let me ask a couple of questions first.
Okay.
And maybe we can just talk for a moment. But let me tell you
okay.
something, Apostle. I've been finding a lot of these young people coming out talking about, asking people to ask me a question. Are we the tribes of Israel? Are we the tribes of the Jews? The question was asking me, and I said, well, why you ask? Well, we just want to know who we are. So why you want to know? And today, by me doing what God told me to do, I was able to, and I exposed the devil. I was able to see the devil at first hand working. This young man, he's clear channel view. And he's 20-some
mm-hmm.
years old. And he started telling me, he asked me all kind of questions. I should have kept my mouth shut, but I wasn't being combative, but I should have been quiet. And I listened to him, and he says, and so he asked me a question. He said, well, who are you? I said, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, what if I told you you're a Jew? I said, well, I'm a Jew by transformation through Jesus Christ. He said, no, I don't mean that way. Anybody can mimic. Anybody can mimic. And so I said, oh, okay. I said, well, you got something better to tell me I don't know about? And so he asked one question. I asked one, when he answered something about what colors he, I said, well, I said there are three ways you can look at it from the teacher. He said, no, I don't mean that way. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, brother. I said, tell me who this Holy Spirit is. He looked at me strange. He couldn't answer me that question.
Sure.
I said, who is the Holy Spirit? He could not
yeah.
answer. And
mm-hmm.
so I said, okay. I said, devil, gotcha. Amen. I said,
amen.
Gotcha. I said, gotcha. Gotcha.
He was trying to entrap you.
Yeah, but see, and one thing, he didn't have the integrity. He didn't have the integrity. But I learned something, because the prayer warrior with me told us that sometimes, Brother Hunter, it's best to be quiet, listen to, because these young folks come with some new ideas and thoughts that they want to see come about for themselves. And
yes.
them and me. And so I said, okay, Lord, I understand. I understand. So if you got a word for it, give it to us.
Okay, I got a word. I got a word from the Word of God, and if You would. First of all, let's look at Zechariah chapter 10.
Okay.
Zechariah chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9.
Okay.
Verses 8 and 9. The scripture says, and I will, the scripture says in verse 8, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 8, I will hiss for them. I will hiss for them and gather them. God, he's hissing for people. And that word hiss is sharak in Hebrew, and it means to whistle for. God is, he's whistling for people. He says right here, I will hiss for them. What is he hissing for people for? He said, I will hiss. The Hebrew word for hiss is sharak, and it means to whistle for. You know, like when you whistle for someone to come. God is whistling for people, and he says, I will hiss for them and gather them. For I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. God is hissing. He's whistling for people, not only to redeem, just to redeem them, but to increase them. To increase them. God is all about increase. Any way you look at it, he's about increase. He's about increasing his family. He wants those, he wants all to be saved and none to be lost. He's all about increasing and building his family. And he's also about increasing his family. He not only wants to save us, give us eternal life, but part of saving us is also increasing us spiritually, physically, financially, socially, in every area of our life. God is hissing for people. He's whistling for people to come so he can increase them. Now look at verse 9. What is this increase for? Surely the scripture says over in Thessalonians, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. So we know that God, he wants to increase us, and he wants us to enjoy our prosperity.
Yeah.
But it's not only for us to enjoy, it's also for a mission. Look at verse 9. And he says, after I increase you, verse 9 says, God says, and I will sow them among the people.
Yeah.
And they shall remember me in far countries.
Uh-huh.
And they shall live with their children and turn again. Good God Almighty. So God wants to he's whistling for us. Then he wants, when we come to him, he wants to increase us. He wants to make us prosperous. So then he can take us and sow us in far countries. He can sow us in America and in other nations. He can sow us among the people who have turned their back on the only true living God. And then they'll turn again to God, and God will increase them and their children.
My God.
God is about prosperity. He's about prospering his people. He wants to grow his family. He wants people to turn back to him. So what does he do? He hisses for us. We come to him. He increases us and makes us prosperous. Then he takes us and sows us among the people. You know, anytime you sow a seed, you're sowing for a what? A harvest.
A harvest.
You're sowing for a harvest. So God wants to prosper you, Apostle. He wants to make you rich. He wants to make me rich. He wants to make his children who are listening right now rich. So what does he do? He saves us. He redeems us. Then he begins to prosper us. And once he prospers us, he takes us and sows us amongst the people who have turned their back on the only true living God. They see how God is prospering us and doing so well for us. Then they turn again to God, and then they prosper, and their children prosper. And you have ministers today, right in the church, preaching and teaching against the prosperity message. And you can see that God has a mission for prosperity. He has a mission for prosperity. Not only does he give us prosperity to enjoy, like he says over in Thessalonians, but he also sows us, once we're prosperous, among the people who have turned their backs on him, so that they can see how good God is in our life, and then they, in turn, turn again to God, and God prospers them and their children.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? God is so wonderful. God is so wonderful. Now, let me go to the scripture. I want to show you something in the scripture. What you see right here, it says that you shall live. They shall live. They shall live. When they turn again to God, they shall live. That's the latter part of verse 9. They shall remember me in far countries. Why? Because they see the prosperity that God has given you. Once he sows you among them, they see the prosperity that God has given you. And then the scripture says, they turn again and they shall live. I will sow them among the people. So who? So who? So the one he's hissed, so the people he hissed for, and they came, and God prospered them. He prospered them. Then he took them and sowed them among the people. And the people saw how good God is and how good God is blessing them. They turn to the same living God, and God prospers them and their children. He says, and I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. Good God Almighty. See, I tell you, it's the goodness of God, the Bible says, that draws men, that brings men to repentance. Men need to see the goodness of God.
My God.
And so all these prosperity haters that are against prosperity preachers and teachers, they need to stop that mess, because you can see clearly here that God is all about prospering his people. God wants his people to prosper. Jesus said, when you pray, he says, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he say? Thy kingdom come. He says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we know it's rich in heaven. It's rich in heaven. And God says, Jesus says, pray that it be on earth like it is in heaven. The streets of gold, the streets in heaven are made of gold.
Yes.
One giant pearl makes a gate. I tell you, God's not having a depression in heaven. He's not sitting on the throne biting on his fingernails, worrying, saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? No, it's rich in heaven. It's rich in heaven. The streets are made of gold in heaven. And Jesus says, pray like this when you pray. Let it be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. God wants his people rich. We got to open up our hearts to allowing God to show us how to be rich. The Bible says that he gives us the power, God Almighty. He says, I give you the power to get wealth. The power. Now, how are you going to fight against God's prosperity message when that's what he's all about? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. How can you help somebody if you don't have anything?
My God. Woo, Jesus.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And so God wants to open up people's heart to receive the prosperity message. He does. Because it takes care of two things. First of all, he gives us all things richly to enjoy.
Yeah.
He gives us riches to enjoy. And you can read that over in Thessalonians. He gives us riches to enjoy.
My God.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
He makes us rich and he wants us to enjoy it.
Mm.
But not only does he just want us to enjoy being the riches and have fun, he sows us amongst the people who have turned their backs on him. They see the prosperity that God has brought in our lives, and then what do? They turn back to God.
Yes.
So it's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a good thing to prosper. You can do a lot. We can do a lot when we prosper. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to kill and destroy that lie of the devil that God wants you broke and poor and barely making it. And you're like it's something bad to be rich and to be wealthy. And that's why a lot of saints are not getting rich and wealthy, because they figure it's something wrong with it and it's something bad.
Yeah.
So we got to get that out of our systems. And then when God begins to bless some of the saints, what do, Apostle? They self-sabotage themselves and lose all that they got.
My God. Teach it, brother.
Because they figure that something's not quite right with prosperity, because they've been hearing it preached like that and taught like that in the church. But how can something be bad when God gives you the power to get it? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he. It's who? It's God. For it is God. It is he that what? Giveth thee what? Power to get well. Now, how can it be bad when God has given us the power to get it?
Yes. My God,
how can prosperity be bad when God has given us the power to get it? And he tells us why. He says that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God wants to establish his covenant with the people.
Yes.
What is God's covenant? So that we be wealthy and that we be great and that we be blessed. Let me show you God's covenant. He wants his covenant established in the earth. So what does he do? He gives us the power to get wealth.
He died
on the cross that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Superabundance to the overflow. God wants us rich. God wants us wealthy so he can establish his covenant in the earth. He wants us to enjoy life and take care of our children, and he wants to sow us among people who have turned their backs against on him so that they can see how good he is to us, and they turn back, return to God. And he blessed them, increased them, and increased their children. God is a good God. And it's him who give us the power to get wealth.
Say it, brother. Say it.
3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, I desire, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. There it is again. God wants us prospering. He wants us to live prosperously. He wants us wealthy. He wants us rich. That's part of his covenant. He wants his covenant established with his people in the earth. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'll give the topic, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. Look at God. God wants us to live and what? Multiply. Then he wants us to live and multiply. That's increase. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land, whether thou goest to possess it.
Amen.
God's always talking about blessing his people. He wants you to live. He wants you to prosper. And look what he goes, go on down now to verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death.
Yes.
Blessing and cursing. What does God say? He says, therefore, choose what? Life. God, he says, I've set before you what? Life and death.
Yes.
He says, choose what? Life. He said, I've set before you cursing and what? Blessing. What did God say choose? God says choose what? Life. Now, what does that word life mean? That word life in the Hebrew is kayi, kayi, and it means to live prosperously. Good God Almighty.
Mm.
It means to live prosperously. God says choose to do what? Live prosperously. When God says choose life, what is he saying? Choose to live prosperously. God wants us prosperous. God wants us rich. God wants us wealthy. God wants us healthy. God wants to sow us amongst the people who have turned their backs on him so that they can see how he's prospering us and they return back to God. And then God increases his children. He increases the people and the children. Isn't that wonderful, Apostle Hunter?
That is.
And so the message God has given me is choose life.
Choose life.
God is saying choose to live prosperously. Choose life. That word life is kai, and it means to live prosperously. God wants us to live prosperously. It means to remain alive. It means to revive from sickness. It means to revive from discouragement or even death. God don't want us dead. God don't want us discouraged. God don't want us sick. God don't want us broke. He wants us to live prosperously. It is he who giveth us the power to get well.
That's it.
Glory to God.
Praise him.
Glory to God.
Praise him.
And so the message God wants me to get across to everyone is to choose life. In other words, God says, choose to be rich. Choose to be wealthy. Choose to live prosperously. Choose to live healthy. Choose to remain alive. Choose to be encouraged instead of discouraged. Choose life. Now, how do we do that? How do we know if we're choosing life? Well, number one, we know that we're choosing to live prosperously. We're choosing to be rich. We're choosing to be wealthy. Number one, when we love the Lord our God.
Amen.
When we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our might, we know that we're choosing to live prosperously. We're choosing life.
Yes.
The scripture says in Deuteronomy 30:16, God says, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. You know you're choosing to live prosperously. You know you're choosing life when you love the Lord your God. We got to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. When we do that, we know that we have chosen what? Life. And that word life, kai, it means we're to live what? Prosperously. We have chosen to live prosperously when we choose, number one, to love the Lord thy God. Not Buddha, the Lord thy God, Elohim. Yud Hey Vav Hey, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true living God. When you choose to live the love the only true living God, you've just chosen life. You've chosen to live prosperously. You've chosen to live in divine health. You've chosen to be rich. You've chosen to be wealthy.
My God.
You've chosen to be encouraged and not discouraged. You've chosen to live and not to die. Choose life. How do you know when you've chosen life? Number one, when you love the Lord thy God. Number two, when you walk in his ways. God wants us to walk in his ways. Get familiar with his word. Get acquainted with his word. Learn his word so you can know and learn how to walk in his ways. The scripture says in verse 16 again, it says, "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God," number one, and then number two, to walk in his ways. To walk in his ways. We need to get familiar, get acquainted with God's word. It will take us to the next level. He says if we be willing and obedient, we'll what? We'll eat the good of the land.
And
he says if we love the Lord thy God, and if we walk in his ways, we're choosing life. And number three, just do what he says. He says right in verse 16, "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God," number one. Number two, to walk in his ways. And number three, keep his commandments. To keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live, that you may live prosperously, that you may live wealthy, that you may live rich, that you may live encouraged, that you may live and multiply, that you may increase. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land wherever thou goest to possess it. God says, just obey me. Do what I say. And you choose life. You choose to live prosperously. Do what I say. Job chapter 36, verse 11, he says, if you obey and serve him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Job chapter 36, 11. God is all about prosperity. Don't get it twisted, children of God. God wants you rich. God wants you wealthy. He wants to give you all things richly to enjoy, but not only to enjoy, that so he can also sow you amongst people who have turned their backs on him, that they can see his goodness in your life and return back to God so God can increase them and their children. And that's the message God wanted me to give tonight. Choose life.
And you know what? I thank God for what he said tonight to you, Apostle. And one of the things I would say more than anything else, this God we serve is an awesome God. He's an awesome God.
Yes,
and all I can say this much, when God gives us his richness, when God gives us his knowledge, when God gives us his understanding, it is to benefit the next generation.
Yes.
The next generation. Because we're living in a time where we now live in, where we got to know, when you hear a hiss, God is hissing.
He's hissing.
He's whistling at you.
He's whistling at you.
Whistling at you. And so
come over here.
If you stop and listen, you might hear him whistle at you. Ain't one of them sexy whistlers, I need your attention.
Yes, come on now.
And when he get his attention, I just want to thank God tonight. I'm so full of what God is doing. He wants to increase us. And it was a great word tonight, and I just say choose life.
Choose life.
And so tonight we're supposed to have on there with us Royal A. Princess, the lady that God has blessed above, and I thank God for her and others. So one thing I would say, many have been called, but few are chosen.
Yes, sir.
Many have been called.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Wow. Good afternoon and Happy New Year to everyone. And God.
Same to you.
God be the glory. God be the glory. I am just so thrilled. I am so glad the brother bought that prosperity message at the beginning of this year. And that's need to, and he's right. Lots of people have come against the prosperity for years. They condemned Creflo Dollar. Of course, he was pretty rough on it in the beginning, but he has weaved it in. They talked about Creflo, but it got everybody's attention anyway. That's how he started off teaching us about, because God really does want to prosper us. But
yes,
you know, we are. We're rich even if you don't have it monetarily. And a lot of stuff that we do have, you know, there is a scripture that say he was rich and he became poor that we might be rich. And a lot of people, that's New Testament. That's a New Testament scripture. And a lot of people don't realize that the wealth, abundant, I came that you might have life and that, more abundantly. The abundance is, like you say, to the full and to the overflow, more than you need. That's the kind of God we serve. God don't just give you just enough to barely make it. God, he always, of his grace, okay, let's take an example of his grace. His grace is more. When I treat you wrong, God will, and I should be punished, but God comes back and just showers his love on me, which makes me feel really bad because I should, you know, I did somebody else wrong. But God is not like us. He's a God of grace. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God of love. He's a God of forgiveness. And thank God, he is not like man. That we can't stop him. That alone, if we didn't have nothing else, if you couldn't think of nothing else to be thanked every day, the Colossians say, in all things, give thanks. And in all things, not for all things, but in all things. So in all things, it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Amen.
Even when your funds are low, or your money is low, and you don't understand why God is letting your funds be low. It's to bless, it's to make you call upon him and to seek him and to need him. Allow everything truly, Romans chapter 8 is true. All things truly do work together for the good, for the good. At that time, don't seem like it's for the good. For those who are called.
Say it. Hello? Well, a line just should be back up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory Amen. To God. Our line just dropped. Should get back on there. Amen. See, sometimes when you got such a dynamic message, The devil gonna fight you tooth and nail.
He got my phone off. Right in the middle of it. We just glorify God for 2016 and for all the prosperity, because truly I am a rich woman in Christ. I suffer no need. Anything I lack is because I don't need it. All my needs are met. So that's another way you have to look at it too. You know, if we don't have overabundance of money. Because a lot of times this was one of my hardest Christian lessons I had to learn in these 40-some years, is that I couldn't understand. Osteen, Brother Hunter, used to tell us, look to God, don't look to us. And I thought that was an escape, but it's not. Because he was trying to teach us to depend on God. And that is what every church needs to be teaching their people. Don't depend on the church. Don't depend on your brothers and sisters. Depend on God, morning, noon, and night. Look to God. And this is where a lot of people, I used to think, well, if I've got it and somebody else needs something, I should be able to supply it. But you need to seek the Lord even before you can be a blessing, what you think you're being a blessing, because you never know what God is trying to teach that person to bring them to another level of faith and trust in him. So therefore, just because I got it and you asked for it doesn't necessarily mean I'm supposed to give it. I need to really make sure this is the will of God. And, you know, that was a hard lesson for me. I couldn't understand it. I said, well, because the Bible says, you know, there's many scriptures that say, and to him that acts, give. You know what I'm saying? There are scriptures teaching. And to him who lend, you know, want to borrow, lend, give it to him. But you need to really seek the Lord, because the Lord might be wanting to take that person to a level of faith. Plus, we know there are users too, you know, people who are schemers and users also. But that's why you even the more need to seek the Lord, because even if it's a person, where the scriptures say, bless them who despitefully use you. So, okay, if it's a person who's out to borrow from you or use you because you have an abundance. And so you, for that reason alone, you need to seek the Lord with real sincere consecration, because you want that person, if they're using you for the wrong purpose, to be able to receive their punishment from God. You know what I mean? Because God's the one who will take care of them once you, in your heart, forgive them that have despitefully used you. So all of that works out for the better of us. You know, it's all to glorify God. Every bad thing that happened to me in my 40-some years or in my 70 years now is been for the good. I cannot complain. I've had big money and I've had none. And when I had none, I was blessed, just as blessed, more blessed than when I had money. So monetarily, we can't base our wealth and riches upon money, you know, because that is nothing. Like you say, the streets in heaven are transparent gold. We've been given a celestial body that we won't need clothes. We won't need heat, the Bible says. We won't need light. We won't need anything. God is more than sufficient. Everything is there. So I praise God that God, and we don't need to worry about having what we will eat. You know, that's what Jesus's sermon on the mount, they really covered everything. He said the birds of the air, they don't sow, nor do they reap. They don't sow.
Jesus.
Worry about laboring, yet they're fed every day. Their needs are met. And you, how much more, the word of God say, will he do that for me? Has he? He has proven he's done it for me. So I was paralyzed from my neck all the way down when I was stricken with MS in 1973. And they said I would never walk or talk again. And I had just recently, not too long before that, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and all nine gifts were operating in my life. So I could not understand. I had nobody I knew who had experienced any of this power that I had received. So I could not for the life of me understand what God was doing and why he would allow this to happen to me. But it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me.
My
40 some years ago. That turned out. I couldn't talk. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. He had to send people to help me. I'm just a babe in Christ. I don't know anything. I don't know anybody who knows anything about the power. I had just come out of the Church of Christ, who had taught against salvation, who had taught, and definitely none of the gifts. So I didn't have any friends who knew about the operation of the Holy Ghost, who knew about the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings, and to whom much is given, much is, because when they excommunicated me out of the Church of Christ, and that was my family, my whole family, not my brothers, real brothers and sisters, my real brothers and sisters wasn't saved either then, you know, so I didn't know nobody, but I learned. I had learned through eating the word night and day. This was before I was stricken. I stayed in the word. The word of God is the only thing that taught me everything. So I'm telling you, but that solidified my confidence. I always knew, no matter what the situation is. And I had an abusive husband beating me and played around, all that kind of stuff. But no matter what I went through, who put me threw me out of the house because I told them Jesus was the only way. I've suffered many things for the name of Christ. I've been almost put to death for just the name of Christ.
Therefore,
I can understand. Then I couldn't understand. I cried 99% of the time with the word, quoting God, his word back. You say you never leave me nor forsake me. I'm the apple of your I would quote his word to him, crying with tears. But it turned out to be the best thing. 50 years later, it was the best thing. And I could not for the life of me. What could I possibly gain from this kind of experience, Lord? How could you mean this for my good? I just couldn't understand. So, yes, everything truly does. And that's what I want to. But, you know, I was studying, and it says not only are we given to believe, but we are given to suffer. We are supposed to suffer. A lot of churches teach against suffering, but suffering purification. Because how can I have abundant life and suffer too? You know, I'm going to give you that scripture. Give you all that scripture. But you do, because my abundant life is not in things. My abundant life is in him. Is in him. You can be content in a corner of a room with God. You know, little as much when God is in it. You know what I'm saying? But how can we be a blessing? How can I bless Israel? How can I bless the homeless? How can I bless those that are sick and afflicted and destitute, when I don't have anything to give? But as the apostle says, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Walk in the power that God has already given you. Because he taught, when he sent them out, he didn't send them with money. He didn't even, and told them, he told them, you ought to read that, you guys. Take not no purse, no, not even take no two shoes, no nothing. You know, so, you know, in this modern world we live in, they have made it seem like you're somebody if you got plenty and nobody if you got nothing. But God has a sense of humor, whereas now he's flipped, it's always been this way. It's just the more that Satan is in the world and winning them over, because them kingdoms in Matthew chapter 4 is that he offered Jesus Christ, he really had them to give. He really had them to give. He said, if thou will bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. He had them to give, not to Christ, but he had them to give to others. And we can already, I can name you examples after examples after examples after examples of billionaires and millionaires and super, super, super famous stars and actors and stuff who's all tasted all of that, them kingdoms that Satan had. Marilyn Monroe, she was one of them. You know, all these people, fame, all this stuff is going to flee. It's this earth and all of its elements. It's going to melt with fervent heat.
Yes.
There will be nothing. The only thing that will last is Christ. You know, there's a scripture over in the New Testament say, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And that is many folds. If number one, there's another scripture that say, no flesh and blood shall enter into the kingdom. Nah, ain't no flesh and blood going up there. Just because you my brother, my sister, nor my whole body that I'm living in right now, it ain't even going. It ain't going. We got a new celestial body that we're going to be in. So,
oh my God.
Why should we worry about these things? Why should we get it? But these are the things I've learned. I've been there. I've worried about those things, worried about success and money and all those things and houses and lands and cars. But in this at this stage of my life, I've learned that, yes, God is more than enough, more than enough. Oh, I am blessed when I got thousands of dollars in my pocket. And I'm blessed when I ain't got none. Because he's able. He's more than able. He's more than able. when I was through these trials of the years, I'll never forget, I was almost homeless one time. And I had some the landlord, I had lost my job. I used to sell insurance at that time, and my car had broke down. I couldn't get my car fixed, couldn't get everything just caved in. But it was all to the glory of God. God was taking me in a new direction, but I couldn't understand that again. It was confusing. But however, I came to where the landlord had said, well, if you don't have the rent, and I'd been all over the town to Harris County to places to try and get my rent, and so I just gave up. And I said, well, I'm going to open my door, and everything in my house is going to be for sale tomorrow. Because he had said he was going to put a padlock on the house. So I got up the next morning, opened my door, and said, everything's for sale. Everything's for sale. Well, a young man came by and said, so you're selling everything? I said, yeah, well, I don't have any money to pay rent and everything. He said, well, I'm going to ask my wife if you and your son, at that time, it's my son was living here, can come and live with us, and y'all can stay on. We'll give you my 7-year-old son's room. They had a baby and a 7-year-old. And he did, and he came back and told us, and so we moved in. Well, they were in a cult. They were in a false religion. But I didn't know that, of course. And so then when we got in, when we moved in, and I'm sharing them with my food stamps and my money that I do have, and I did get a job, too. And so he said, but one of the rules is you can't preach in our house. You can't preach in our house. I said, oh, my God. And so I tried to restrain myself and not preach in his house. Okay. So then they wanted to invite their pastor over. And so I gave them some money on the dinner, you know, because they didn't have enough money. So I gave them most of my money that I had for them to go on the dinner. And I was just going to stay in my bedroom and read my Bible. Well, they came and knocked on the door and said, Sister Ruth, you can come, but just remember, you can't preach in our house. Okay, so I goes in and I meet their pastor and I get my plate and we're all sitting at the table and I'm just sharing with, and so the pastor, you know, I'm trying not to say anything, and the pastor started asking me questions. Well, my whole life is a testimony. My whole life is a testimony, so what could I do? So I began to share. Oh, boy. So the woman said, the wife said, she said, can I speak to you a minute? So she takes me back in the bedroom. She said, I done told you, you can't preach in a house. Well, at that moment, I dropped to my knees, y'all, and I began to cry out to God. And I said, Lord, I can't live where I can't magnify you. I can't live where I can't praise you. God spoke to me right then while I was on my knees and said, get up and go to the phone and make one call. And that's exactly what I did. I made one call, and it was my play mother, and she said, yes, I got a house. You can move in, and you don't have to pay nothing. I'm telling you what God can do. What God can do, not what man, what people say, think, but what God can do. Yeah, I won't live where I ain't going to praise. I can't praise God. No, sir. When you make up your mind to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding about the work of the Lord, you can't do nothing but win. There is no loss, and any loss that we consider loss, it's nothing but for the betterment and the shaping of us. It ain't, you know, everything we go through ain't necessarily for us. It's for somebody else. It ain't about us. It's about somebody else. So, yeah, if you're a big shot and got a big executive job and all those things, God got you there for him. You know, if you are a janitor, God got you there for him. If you are, you know, wherever you at, that's where you're supposed to bloom, but mostly glorifying, magnifying, and exalting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all things, giving him thanks, because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Our God is rich. We're children of the Most High God. We are rich in everything. Everything belongs to my Father. My father is very rich. Does he have any poor children? No way. Only poor in spirit, because they ain't asking him. They're not glorifying and magnifying him. So we thank God for this first Monday in 2016. The word of God is powerful. And I'm so glad the brother started off. You are already rich. 1 Corinthians 4:8.
Jesus. Jesus.
But as Paul said, I've learned how to both abound with, and I've learned how to suffer loss. I've learned how to have, and I've learned not to not have. But when you think about it, we're rich. You can't never be poor when you're in Christ, because he was rich and mercy. And then look at the scripture in Revelation. He say, I know them who say they are rich, yet they are poor. You remember that scripture? Mm-hmm. Remember that one? That one is not very good for those. They rich and have need of nothing. That's mm-hmm. what the Revelation is. And he said, and I got somewhat against you. So we thank God tonight. We thank God that God is doing a new thing in 2016. And we are praising God that we live to see it, because as we know, we got Natalie Cole just left, but she was a saved. And then we got Elfie Lee and everybody out there in our listening audience got many friends who didn't make it over the hump. So we made it over. And we pray to God we'll get through 2016 and be here to be glorifying God and to always be about his business and giving him all glory. We don't want an ounce of glory of God. We don't want to take no credit for anything but give God all his glory. Because let me tell y'all something. I'll say it until you see it. Visualize them angels 24/7 round the throne of God, giving him praise. And every time they blink, you see a new facet of God for centuries and centuries and years and all forever and ever. And yet, while we were here on earth, we were short with our praise and our magnification of God. Yet the angels around this throne. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed. Have a blessed night. And remember to pray for me and all those who will endeavor God his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, you know, tonight's the night that I just say, it's nothing but the Holy Spirit drawing us closer in, closer in, closer in. And, I was studying these words, and everybody in the Bible, take it to 1 Philippians and Philippians 2:9.
Right.
Because Philippians 2:9. And the Bible, Philippians 2:9, because this is what the Lord been laying on my heart more now than ever. And the more I'm doing it, the more I'm seeing what God is doing. See, mm-hmm. God has an appointment for you. All you got to do is keep the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
keep the appointment. And so in Philippians 2:9 and 10, we find, wherefore also God highly exalted him and gave him the name of every name, that is the name of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
that his name, every knee should bow, of beings in heaven and being on earth and being under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Yes.
My.
Hallelujah.
What name? What name?
Amen.
Even though we love our beloved brother, he crossed on over, but the word I got from his family said, I'm at peace with God.
Amen.
He said, I'm at peace with God. Now, when you say you're at peace with God, you can't argue with no man. Can't argue with a man. Because
amen.
He's standing before the living God. So I say tonight, these are some things that God has placed on my heart. And see, it's some things that I'm sending out an email to everybody on the other people. Because of some things God has put on all of our hearts. All of our hearts, that we got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was perusing the word of God. And I said, well, Lord, some other things need to be done. He said, well, y'all ain't done what I told you to do. I said, what? No, he said, y'all ain't done what I told you to do. He says, go ye therefore into all the world. Mark 16 chapter. And preach my word. Convince them. I'm on my way back. Convince them. He says, and now here's where the part is that gets me, well, my time is up because Latrice is getting ready to come on. I won't take her time. I know Latrice is on, but I'll come back later on because I know God has a word in her. All of us have been over at 215, we're at 216. We're going to watch God do great things. Latrice, are you there?
Amen. How's everybody doing?
Amen. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless y'all. Bless you all for the new year as well. As always, I want to start with prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for this day that you have blessed us with. I thank you for keeping us throughout this day, Father God. And as we continue to go forth in you, Father God, you know what everyone needs to hear. You know the hearts, Father God. I'm but a vessel, Father God, willing to be used by you, Father God. But you speak through me, Father God, and you do what you need to do, Father God. I give you the glory. I give you the praise, Father God. And I bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're going to be discussing about intercession. I was praying in reference to what we were going to discuss tonight and what was on God's heart. And you know, as we begin in the new year, many of us begin to fast and pray and seek God for different things throughout the new year. And he put on my heart about interceding for others, you know, as we all fast and pray, you know, are we interceding for our family members and our friends and those that, you know, he placed on our hearts to intercede for? And when I looked up, because I always have to make sure I get the understanding fully before I bring it forth to everyone, and I looked up the definition for intercession. And intercession is the action of intervening on behalf of another, the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another person. And then God brought me to 1 Timothy 2:1, which stated, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. As you make your request, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. And then it drops down to 3 and says, this is good and it pleases God, our Savior, but he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth, which is Jesus Christ. And, you know, it blessed me because sometimes in our prayer life, you know, so many of us, we pray, and I know some of us do intercede, but not everybody do, because we're so busy caught up on what we're needing and what we're asking for and what we want. You know, God, it blesses him when we intercede for others. You know, we have family members that don't know him. We have people that, you know, that are lost, that are caught up in so many things that haven't received him. And these people that God has placed in our lives are these people that we come across. It's not by accident that we come across these people. It's not by accident that you may get a thought about someone and you know that that person is doing this or doing that. You know, the Holy Spirit quickens your spirit about someone. Even in you just doing day-to-day tasks, you know, the Holy Spirit may give you somebody in the midst of you doing something, and, you know, he quickens your spirit to say a prayer for that person. And that's interceding. That's like praying on behalf of someone else. Or even when someone may be going through, maybe, for instance, a death in the family or something, you know, that's very devastating. You know, it's kind of hard for many to deal with that. And, you know, you may need to pray for their strength and pray for their peace or whatever God may place in your heart for that person, because at that time in their life, they're not really, the average person is not really thinking of praying because they're dealing with their hurt and they're grieving and they, you know, trying to accept the fact that, you know, whoever passed away has passed, you know. And sometimes God places us in a place where we have to intercede and, you know, pray and cry out to him for others, you know. And then to pray for others to understand him and to be saved and just to know Jesus Christ, you know, it's a blessing that we as Christians know him. But so many of us don't know him, don't have that relationship with him. We know of him, but don't know him. So it blesses me to know that I have a relationship with him. But at the same time, I know others that don't have a relationship with him. So I pray for them and I intercede for God to draw near to them so they can humble themselves and receive the greatness of our Father.
And as I mentioned, with the new year beginning, there's so many of us that are fasting and praying for a variety of reasons. But it is written in Isaiah 58 and 6, the type of fasting that God calls for. And it says, "Is not the fast that I can have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke?" So it reminds us that so many people are caught up in the bands of wickedness. Some people are oppressed, are heavy, carrying heavy burdens, are going through so much. And God has called us to fast, to intercede for them. You know, along with the things that you he may place on your heart to do, as well as your own personal things that you're fasting for. Thank you, Jesus. But you still have to seek out anyone else. You know, so many times we go and we start our prayer in the morning time or whenever God has called us to pray. And we pray and then we like, okay, we're finished. And we only prayed about ourselves and our family that's in our immediate family. But what about those family members that are living in the streets or are homeless, that don't even have a bed to lay in? Or what about those friends that, although you came into Christ and you're no longer connected to them, you still know they're not living the life that is pleasing to God? What about those who don't even take the minute to even tell God thank you? You know, so we have to remember when we're praying and we're seeking God in different things to put others before ourselves, because God, it pleases God. God desires for us to put others before ourselves. And he decides for us to seek to help those in need, to reach out to all, like I mentioned, all our family and our friends and anyone that we could come across. It may be somebody at a bus stop. It may be somebody at your workplace. It may be somebody at your school. Whoever it may be, the Holy Spirit will quicken you to say a prayer. I just bless them with a word, and then you go quietly and intercede for whatever God gives you to intercede about for that person. You know, so many times we may just be in the midst of what, for instance, good example, our workplace, and we're talking with a friend, and, you know, they're just venting, and they're saying, you know, things that are going on in their lives and things that has happened to them, and they're devastated and hurt about it. Instead of us, you know, saying and agreeing to what they're saying, we can go quietly, like on our break time or something, and just pray and intercede for them, because it's not by accident that someone is sharing that. God has quickened their spirit to share that with you, because God is trusting you to go in before him and pray for that person and intercede for that person to be healed or delivered for whatever they may be dealing with. He's called us to intercede. And he blessed me when he told me to think about Esther and what Esther did for her people. She is a great example, along with a lot of people in the Bible. Esther is a great example of putting others first and family first when it comes to doing things. You know, she fasted for 3 days. She called for a fast for her people to fast. And she was willing to give up all, and she was willing to die for her people. Now, I'm not saying, you know, do all that, but I'm just saying she was willing to give it all for her people, you know, for her people to be saved, so her people wouldn't be taken off the planet, off the earth. You know, she interceded for them. You know, she was favored by the king. And God placed her in the right place at the right time. And it reminds me of what I was just mentioning of, you know, God, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So if God placed you in a place and something happens, I believe that he places there for a reason, to pray for someone or intercede for someone, just like he did Esther. He placed her in that place, in that time, in that hour, for her to intercede for her people to be saved. And at the end of that, her people got victory. You know, because God used her to move on behalf of her people. And just to think, if Esther decided not to go forth with it, you know, not to go forth and intercede for her people like she did, her people probably wouldn't have been saved. So we have to remember to also not be selfish when it comes to dealing with things of life and our family members. We may have a family member we don't like dealing with, but we know that it's not them, it's the spirit that they have. So why not go in prayer and pray and intercede for them to be delivered from that spirit, so they can move forward in a relationship with you and relationship with God? It just blessed me, and I wanted to share that with you guys. And in Acts 17 and 28, it talks about how God, how Christ lives and moves and have his being in us. We are God's offspring. You know, God has, when we receive Jesus Christ, God accepted us just the way we are. you know, someone blessed us with the word, our lives changed, and we came into the kingdom of God, you know. And now that we're in the kingdom of God, we are called to be ministers and servants of God. We are called to do the things that he's called us for to do. We have gifts and different talents and things that he's placed in us. God desires to use us, you know, our hands, our feet, our voice, everything that pertains to us, God desires to use. He's looking for willing vessels. He's looking for those who's going to cry out and spare none. He's looking for those that are going to go to that place in the holiest and holiest and cry out for Joe and Bob and Susan and whoever God may place on your heart. He's looking for those. You know, when we in prayer, in the midst of praying and crying out to him, he will quicken our spirit with someone, and he'll give us exactly what we should pray for that person. And that's how it works. He gives us what to pray for. He gives us the will and the desire on what's on his heart, and he gives it to us to speak it into the atmosphere. You know, how did he create the world? He spoke it, and everything came. So that's the same thing that we do. That's why they say your words have power. You have the power in everything you say. You can speak life or death. So when you in prayer, speak life to situations that you know may not be natural dead, but you know dead in the spiritual. You know that your family member or a friend, you know, whoever it may be, someone you know has a calling on their life, but they are going through so much in life that they can't even grasp what God is telling them because they have been through so much. God will quicken your spirit to pray for that person so that person can be delivered. And it blessed me. Recently, I got a text message from a friend I didn't even know, you know, but God knew I needed to hear that to encourage me. And she blessed me, and she said, you know, I know that you are praying for me. I know I've had a blessed new year, a blessed year. God has really been good to me, and I do believe that's your prayers. And it blessed me because I know I have been praying for so many people. And I don't expect to see something in return because I know God is going to honor my prayers. But at the same time, it blesses me to know that God is moving and he's hearing and he's doing and honoring the righteous prayers. You know, it blessed me so. It made my new year because she sent me the text right before the new year passed off. And I was like, God, I just bless your name. And I give you the glory for that. You know, and I have a person that I've met at the store by my home. And when I first met this person, he didn't even have Jesus Christ. He hadn't received salvation or any of that. But I took his name down, and I went home, and I added him to my list. And I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray. And then just one day, maybe like a month or two later down the line, I went in the store, and we were discussing, and he told me that he has an altar now. And he reads the Bible and he prays. And I'm like, God, I just bless your name. Because there's nobody but God. He puts people at the right place at the right time for you to meet them and know them and then to intercede for them. And then he honors that because you're doing his will and his desire. And it just blessed me. You know, it blesses me to know that he's moving and he hears our prayers. Prayers of the righteous development. And I'm just grateful for that. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And also, when we talk for ourselves and we stand in the gap for others and cry out for the lost, you know, we have to remember that we are God's co-workers. You know, he wants us to be who he wants us to be, not who we want to be, who he wants us to be. So when we humble ourselves, it pleases him. And he honors that, you know, like I just mentioned. And as we seek to please him in everything that we do, he honors and he exalts us. You know, the word says the humble gets exalted. He exalts us. He also placed in my heart to share 2 Corinthians 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Their land can be your family, things you're dealing with, you know. As we humble ourselves and we pray and seek God for whatever it is that we have to deal with, why not pray for God to humble someone else, to draw near to someone else so they can seek his faith and turn from anything that's not of him so their land could be sick. I'm sorry, that was a lie. For their land to be healed. You know, he's searching and he's looking for someone to stand in the gap for the land to be filled. If he can't to be healed, if he can't find anyone, what do? You know, it's so many Christians out here, so many Christians. I know that got to be someone that's willing to stand in the gap for your people, that's willing to stand in the gap for your friends, that's willing to stand in the gap for the person at the bus stop, that's willing to stand in the gap for the youth in your community, that's willing to stand in the gap for the elders in the office. It got to be somebody that's willing to be used by God, that will put their own needs to the side and they will turn and seek God and his desires and what he's crying out for and seek his heart. Seek God's heart on what situations are going on around you. Even in your own apartment complex, there's so much going on. God is seeking on who he can find that will stand in a gap for his people, that will cry out, that will just cry out before him. I mean, snotty nose, I mean, ugly face, everything. Just will just cry out and humble themselves for someone else, because so many people are not understanding who Christ is. And because we know who Christ is, it's like almost a commandment or like a charge to intercede for someone so they can get to know our precious Savior, our healer, so they can get experience for him and they will receive his salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So how do we become intercessors? How do we become who God wants us to be? How do we put our own self to the side and seek to help someone else? We start off first by seeking God first. We spend time with him. We have a relationship with him. We pray, like the word said, and seek his face. We pray from our heart. We don't have to have no long, extravagant prayer and I die for so all that. We just pray from our heart. And as we pray and we seek and we worship and we lift him up, he will quicken our spirits on who to pray for, when to pray for, when to pray for them, and how to pray. He shows us, you know, that maybe somebody that's needing their bills paid. You don't know that in the natural, but God knows that. And he may give you a vision of them or put them in your heart, and you're saying, okay, why are you giving me Joe, Father? What is going on with Joe? I need you to pray. I need you to stand in the gap. And as you pray, you let the Holy Spirit lead you, and the Holy Spirit will give you the things to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. And also in our daily times with him and communicating with him and doing the way we've all supposed to do, talk to him throughout the whole day as we go to and from, you know, home, work, school, whatever, grocery store. He even would give us strangers, you know, people in the grocery store. You may discernment, hallelujah, Jesus. Have discernment of the people and the places around you, you know, because you could be in a grocery store and God may put you in that place just so you can see someone dealing with the spirit of heaviness, and it's for you to pray. You don't have to run up to them and say, I know you got the spirit of heaviness on you. No, you could just quietly say, now, Father, and you pray for them to be delivered, or whatever it is they may be dealing with, you pray and intercede for them. You have to be prepared to be ready whenever God quickens your spirit, and be willing to pray and intercede for other people and be at the right, listening to his spirit, being in the right place in the right time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
My God.
Hallelujah. Yes, is what I just mentioned about praying and, you know, seeking his face and just being quietly before him, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you in your time of prayer. You know, as you go to prayer and you repent and you start your daily task with God and you're praying and communicating with him, God is just so amazing. Our Father is beyond amazing. It's unexplainable. He knows everything. He knows what we need to pray about, who we need to pray about, what, when, where, how, whatever. God knows, and he will lead us in our time of prayer. All we have to do is humble ourselves and really, really sacrifice ourselves sometimes to seek his face and to hear from him so we can listen with our ears and our hearts on what he's saying and receive what he's saying and then speak it into the atmosphere for ourselves and others. We have to listen to his voice. And even sometimes, you know, sometimes I pray and nothing comes out, but I'm still praying and God knows my heart. Like in Romans 8:26-27, it says, and the Holy Spirit hears us in our distress, but we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Excuse me. And 27 says, and the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. Just what I mentioned. The Spirit prays for us. God knows all things. So when we humble ourselves and we go before God and pray and let the Spirit lead us, it blesses me, hallelujah. It says, in harmony with God's will. Not my will, not your will, but God's will. Hallelujah, Jesus. You see, God knows all, and he is sovereign. You know, in your time of prayer, surrender your all to him and allow the Holy Spirit to pray for you, and you'll be surprised the things that God will put on your heart to say. And you know it's from God because you, your own self, would never think of that. Hallelujah. In your time of prayer, I challenge everyone, in your time of prayer, to ask God for who you are to intercede for. You know, make a list in your time of prayer. Get in his presence and speak to him. Get your piece of paper and make a list. I challenge all of us to make a list in our time of prayer for others, whoever God may place in our heart. Pray for them, whatever God give you to pray about them. Do it consistently, not just one day, but on a regular basis. And even after you see the fruitation or the manifestation of the prayer that you're praying, continue to glorify God. Continue to pray even more for the people that he's placed in your heart to pray for. And as you pray, watch how God moves. You know, God honors and it blesses him, like the word says, it pleases him for us to intercede for each other, to pray for each other. And when you go before God, be bold, be confident in who he is and who he's called you to be. He's trusting you. He's entrusting you. That's a blessing, because if you think about who you are in your past, hallelujah, and you think about who you are in now, if you're living for Christ, it's a blessing that he trusted you to be a servant, that he trusted you to be a co-worker. He trusted you to be a vessel. Hallelujah, Jesus. He trusts us. So be bold and confident in what he tells you. But it is written in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly, hallelujah, boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. So when we come to his throne, we have to be bold. We have to be confident. We have to know that his grace is sufficient. We repent, we move forward, and we allow God to work in us. He has blessed us with the mercy. He has blessed us with the grace to come before him. And how did he? With the blood of Jesus. He has cleansed us. He has covered us. He has made everything perfect through Jesus Christ for us. And because of that, he says, come boldly. I'm waiting for you. Come boldly. My grace is sufficient for you to come boldly. Let your request be made known unto him and allow him to move in your life. Let him bless you. Let him show you how much he loves you as you intercede for others. It gives you a, hallelujah, it gives you a peace that it's unexplainable, a joy just to know that he entrusted you to pray for this person or that person, that he know that you would do it, and he honors that. It pleases him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And in Matthew 11, that the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violence take it by force. Are you going to go before him weak? Oh, God, this and that. No, he said, come boldly. Take it by force. It's here. It's waiting for you. My pastor blessed me the other day. He said, there's things in the supernatural just waiting for us to pull on, to grab, to call out into the atmosphere, into the natural. Come boldly and be confident that his grace is sufficient. He has made it sufficient for us to come before him by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he sees us right,
amen,
he has made it. He has made it for us to go before him. He desires relationship. Hallelujah. He desires, you know, Jesus Christ intercedes for us. So why not intercede for our family members and friends? That's what he wants us to do. Take it by force. Take it by force. It's ours already. It's ours. He has given us the keys. Take it by force. You want healing for your family member? Declare they are healed. Pray and intercede. Pray for the wicked bands to be taken off of them. Pray for their eyes to be opened and their ears to be uncalled, for God to draw to their hearts and save them. do it forcefully because he has given us that authority. He has given us that power. And sometimes he's just waiting for us to speak a word for him to move. And it blessed me also when he said on Sunday that as soon as we pray, God is moving on our behalf. Hallelujah. Just imagine you bow before God, and as soon as you open your mouth, because he knows your heart and he already knows it's going to come forth, he's already moving. Angels are moving on behalf for us. Hallelujah. Amen. I just bless everyone, and I challenge everyone, if you haven't got into intercessory prayer, to try it. Seek God's face and ask God to give you the people who to pray for and what to pray about. And as you do that, I promise God will show you. And then I believe that he's going to move on our behalf. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, what I want to close without sharing salvation, you know, Jesus with everyone, if you're on this line and you haven't received Jesus Christ, he's waiting. He's waiting. Repent. He is faithful to forgive every sin. Repent. And just cry out to him. Confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is. And believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. Repent, confess it, believe it, and cry out to him. I speak blessings over everyone, and I thank you all. God bless. Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Well, you know, tonight is a night that God has blessed us with a fullness of it all. But every day I've come to bring it to understanding. I'm saying this from the love of my heart, to the best of my ability, unto the word of God. In the 17th chapter of St. John, Jesus showed us how to intercede for one another. He said, Father, he said, I not only pray for them, but I pray for those who he has stepped up and transferred into the kingdom. And so there are some out there that we got to pray for and believe for. When we come before prayer time, I always say, naked I came, naked I leave. But I come and pray for you, Father, and I ask you tonight to let the fullness of the Godhead manifests in our bodies, that we can see and touch and know. When we walk and talk, we'll know and see. Those who have desire to walk with you, those who desire have problems in their bodies, in their minds, in their thinking process. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we ask you to just show us the way. Show us, we invite you into our lives more on KESK radio station, to all of those in the background, and to those who are on the line, to those around the world, because the count is on. And here we stand in the year 2016. In 2016, we have work to do, much work to do. Father, I love you for what you've done for me. I love you. When I didn't have my earth physically, Father, I adopted you and you made me your son. I receive you. I've come to you. I trust in you. I believe in you. I've seen what you've done through the years for me. And I want to say thank you tonight. I want to thank you for all of those who came on the radio tonight. And to those who think that they have the right hand to God, wrong again. All have a right hand to God. God loves us. He loves us like he loved the other person. We must love each other. I don't have time to argue with a pastor, apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist. I don't have time to argue with the fivefold, because my job and your job is to our job. To reach the unreached and tell the untold. Jesus Amen. Gave us a commandment. He said, go ye down all the world. Go yes. next door. Go around the world. Tell everybody. And every time Amen. We get an opportunity, we need to tell folks about it. Because nobody, Father, I just thank you tonight. And Father, thank you know, when I didn't have much, you showed me, Father. You showed when I was 40-some years ago at the same address I'm living. And I learned how to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. They were going to take my house. I just lost my job, good paying job, because I got educated. Go and I lost my job. They will take my car. They said, we're going to take your house. I got on my knees in the front door of my house, and I prayed. And while I was praying, somebody on my door, I opened the door and opened. There stood a man I've never seen before. But I was in prayer. He said, here's the money you need. He gave me $700 to go pay, because back then my note was $221 a month, and $221 a month was, you know, Father, but I thank you. And I closed the door. I was so excited. And I went back out there. I looked around. I couldn't see nobody. That's how God operates. God has work for us. He has more work for us. And I want to let you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is moving our lives. Don't fight it. Don't force it. Let it work. Let it work. I love you, Father. Amen. I tell you, tonight's a good night. Hallelujah. God is so good.
Hallelujah.
He's so good to me. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the things I keep saying, I met some people today, and it was for a prayer. And see, when I went to this place tonight, I had to go find out something, because God kept leading me and showing me. And I said, okay, and God showed me to a place. You got a new group of people in the earth realm who are talking about some issues that we need to take under concern. Young people. It's nothing but a move of the devil. We got to say, as the young lady said, as Latrice said, we got to pray for them. We got a lot of young men who don't, they see, just because you got some understanding don't mean you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because if you don't have that power, I'm telling you what I know. When somebody put a pistol upside your head and a shotgun and a .22, and said, we're going to kill you. But God was there to protect you. I'm that man. I can take you to date and time it up. And I got my sister to prove it. Because they couldn't have killed me because I was on an assignment. See, when we're on assignment for God, the devil can't do nothing to us.
Amen.
Can't do nothing. All we got to do is stand up. Stand in. Let God stand in us. And the day I met this young lady out there at TW at the Holcomb and Fannin, and I saw her. I said, she passed by. I said, how you doing, young lady? She said, fine. She come back by. And I said, you know Jesus? She said, yes, sir. I began to talk with her. And I asked her one question. I said, a young lady like you, why you not after a man? She says, I'm too busy serving Jesus Christ. I sit back down. She said, I'm too busy. Most of the men nowadays are not coming in like they're supposed to. Men are still, and I was coming back on in with my driver today, watching. We got more black men. I love black men. They still got their belts all off, their hair's all looking bad. We need to pray for them. We got to lay hands on them and destroy that enemy. And the Bible says to us, see, we have that right. We have that right to cast out demons. And some people say, well, I don't know about, I don't want to go lay hands on nobody. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, do it. If he said, all is his, all is ours. If we do it, he said, do it. See, he died for us. He died to sin for all of us. He died to cut Satan's rule. So he died for us. We're buried together in him. He went down to the place of suffering, paid the penalty for our sins. And the union we had with darkness. And anybody can say, because we had a union with Satan, but until Isaiah was fulfilled, and the light shall come and shine, and the darkness shall not comprehend it. And so here we are at that hour. Here we are in 2016 that we got to do some work. And I'm gonna say like the old man, you say to me, if you can't run the race, don't put your shoes on. If you can't run the race, don't put your shoes on. Now, that was a powerful thought back then to me, because what kind of shoes? You got to put your gospel shoes on.
That's right. Amen.
You put in the race. So I just thank God for everybody tonight, and I praise God.
Thank God for you.
Amen. And so we have an identification with Christ. And see, and I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. Anybody with a pastor and your pastor that wants you on the line with us, God bless you. The speed of God be with you. And I thank God for you. We have to move on. Too much work to be done. See, one thing, see, when Jesus, hallelujah, Father, put himself on the cross, actually sin placed him on the cross. And he just did what he's supposed to do. And what I love about it, he ain't black and he ain't white. He ain't yellow, he ain't red. He's just Jesus. He's just Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To my beloved brothers and sisters, if we just know tonight that we know, if we got a word to say to somebody, if not, I'll see you until the Lord sends us back together. Anybody on the line got a line for us? So if not, we love you and we thank God for you. And so I will say to you, the Lord bless you until we meet again. Amen.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless y'all.